Stupid, eh? Are you a stupid fool? Well, why can't you drive then? You can't even drive! Pretty great today, isn't it?
Well, I'm here. Welcome, everyone. As ever, I have a big mug of Nescafe Gold, and it's got my face on it. Well, not my face, the face of George Saunders, with a patch on it, but still, you know, an old friend. And I'm joined by Pharaoh, as ever. How are you doing, Pharaoh?
Yes, very well. Thank you very much.
Farewell. And I'm also joined by Mr. D, who's dropping. How are you doing, D?
Hello. I'm doing well. You know, just again reveling in the Christmas spirit.
I haven't felt Christmassy at all this year. I know people say that every year, but it's literally 5 days away, and I have had not one even tiny morsel of Christmas cheer. Not even one.
Have you been to a carol service?
No.
That's it. This is your problem. You need to hit up a carol service. I had mine yesterday, and it was very wonderful.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I feel like living in the COVID world, nobody puts any effort in.
That's
no
true.
Effort anywhere.
Well, yeah, because you know, you'd have these workplaces that you'd go to, and they'd at least put an effort in themselves, and you'd have the kind of forced fun. But then when you came home, because you'd have that difference in your work life, you want to create that Christmas bubble and that special place. Well, now the home is
work. I
don't
know where you work, Pharaoh. I remember going to a Christmas party once upon a time. And it was 8 p.m. and everybody cleared off home, and there was one balloon in the corner. You know, yay! I mean, it really was sad. It really was pathetically sad, that Christmas party, and I think it was so bad that we never did one again.
I got to tell you that advertising agency Christmas parties are notorious. I have many stories of the raucous and ridiculous things that people got up to, but they were always good fun, and people would stay until 4 a.m. So.
Oh, they used to call it, well, we were crazy, we were. All right, David, Brent. Dee, any Christmas parties in your history?
Oh, dear. Yes, I mean, that the absolutely shameful tales of poetry I could relay. You know, I mean, it's Christmas, so I'm avoid that. I have been trying to force myself into Christmas spirit. I almost decided not even to bother getting a tree this year, which is terrible, you know. I mean, I always spend Christmas alone. Well, I usually go and volunteer on Christmas, through the church, and then I come home and I eat like an entire gammon myself. You know, this year I think it is just like COVID. Fatigue, you know. I feel like the world has ended, you know.
Speaking of trees, I was going to ask about Mrs. AA's thanking the tree, which is hilarious and weird at the same time.
I mean, she literally said because obviously we got the tree from our garden center and, you know, put it down, and she had to uncut it and get it all straight. And
hold on a second. She was the one that was doing all of the tree stuff, was she?
Oh yeah, come on, it's woman's work. Woman's work. I mean, I held it steady as she screwed it into the thingy. And, you know, and then she dressed it with all the baubles and things. Well, what men don't dress the bloody Christmas tree.
No, we don't dress the tree, but we set up the tree, and
I dressed the tree. You think I would allow the dressing of the tree to be done by a bloody woman, for God's sake.
But anyway, she did say to it, oh, I'm sorry you were cut down, but thanks for being our Christmas tree. She said that to it. So.
Well, it's what it's sort of based. I mean, it is the idea. I mean, you know, it is the ancient sort of idea that you're bringing the spirit of the forest into the home for luck. So she's based on druid pills.
Every year she gets sad at the kind of Christmas tree graveyard that is, because you know you have to leave them all.
On the street for ages. Yeah.
Depressing. You know, she always feels sad and she wants to leave it until, you know, it's the day before or whatever. So.
There's this Japanese woman who's famous for she helps like people declutter their houses, and as part of the decluttering she makes people say thank you very much to every single item they chuck away, and that just reminded me of that kind of similar idea. Just I'm just imagining Mrs. AA just thanking the tree very much.
You'll be pleased to know, by the way, AAA has become Thomas the Tank pilled. She's specifically James and Percy pilled.
James.
Yeah, I can understand Percy, but James?
Yeah.
No one likes James.
So happened she's got a little toy James and a little. They were only free with like a magazine or whatever, but she's taking them everywhere with her at the moment. She's inseparable from these two little train toys. And Mrs. AA keeps on calling Percy Henry. I was like, it's Percy. Henry's number four and Percy's number. No, yeah. Henry's number three and Percy's number six, right? Percy's six. Is that right?
My little girl loves one of the Thomas characters that is very obscure. Do you know Cranky the Crane?
Yes, oh, Cranky. Yeah, yeah.
She loves Cranky for some reason.
Cranky is very ill-tempered, yeah.
Yeah, but it's because Cranky makes her laugh. I always do Cranky with quite a funny voice when I'm reading some of the books. So she just is obsessed with Cranky the Crane. So.
Yeah, Cranky gets up to some shenanigans, I would say. I'm worried about this James thing because, I mean, literally, like 90% of the time, James just pulls a like stink face, and he's just a miserable engine.
Yeah, he is pretty miserable. Now, there's a couple of things I want to mention before we get going. First of all, you know, it may not get huge audience numbers. Many people would say, oh, you know, if there's an A stream and a B stream, you know, Deeper Store's the C stream, you know. But for me, there's something about the cozy vibe of this little afternoon stream. I always kind of loved it. I always kind of loved Deepest Lore. I think it might be my favorite stream. What about you guys? We're going to take a little moment to appreciate Deepest Lore as a stream.
Absolutely. I mean, you know me. I mean, the worst stream of all is the cigar stream. Miserable stream. I would put Deepest Lore up the top. Yeah.
So cigar stream is great, but I can't take too many of them in a row, so I have to savor them, because my brain will explode if I have too much. I'll just get two black pills. So and then you, I already know quite a lot of the stuff you'll talk about. So you know, Deepest Lore is the place.
All the stuff you talk about. Oh, it's time to pull out Havanagila again. Woo.
Okay, so there we go. Are
we talking about Andy Warhol again? I have the slide.
No. We're talking about. We're carrying on doing adverts. But before we get going, there's a little bit of news I want to share. I can't help myself, but I have to share this news.
I know what
it is. Is this the victory lap?
Yes, I bet it is.
Lord Urquhart. Increasingly black-pilled about Omicron and people's responses to it. We're on the tracks, and Omicron is a freight train hurtling towards us. The things that I've been saying about the danger of COVID, the reasons why we needed lockdown, will probably, unfortunately, be realized. I'll be on Twitter less from here on out, and we'll probably just delete my account. Ultimately, being on here is a pointless endeavor, and right now, there are more important things to be worrying about. Events will play out and we'll see who's right in the end. And then about a couple of hours later, what else happened? What else happened? Wait for it. He's gone.
Total victory.
Finish him.
I mean... Could anybody want a better Christmas gift than that?
The thing is, he said that there wasn't going to be any lockdowns, and that it's all in the press. I think this is a tactical seppuku before the constant public humiliation he would receive if they bring in anything else. But we all know that Urquhart, he was the lowest of the Tory boys, the true villain at the top of the hierarchy is VP. I think he's the one to beat.
As I said, one down, five to go. although I phrased it as Willy Wonka, which gave one the chance of redemption at the end. And we all know who that is, don't we? Tory rebuttal. All right. So
Tory rebuttal.
Well, he's the only one capable of redemption, I think.
He's good. He's had some good takes in the past. There is a path of redemption.
Wait, what do you say? When?
Ages ago. I'm sure I've seen some tweets that I've agreed with.
One time in like... okay, so... and we're going to play a little game, by the way, as well today, which is last time we had an amazing moment where we stumbled upon the thumbnail, which was the bursting bubble of diversity. Remember?
Every time I see that.
And so today, currently I've just got a placeholder in there, which is just a Santa Claus with a black family, because, I mean, let's face it, that's about 90% of the evidence we're going to watch. Yes, let us look out for any thumbnailable moments. One of the commenters in the last stream, not last week, but the week before when we did the part one of this, was they said that I'm convinced that 50% of the black population in the UK works in the advertising industry. That like there are so many black people in these adverts, and let's not forget. Only 3% of the nation are black, and yet a huge number of people in these adverts are black. So
this is creating a huge problem, I think, in the acting industry, where again, if you go to any of the kind of like more serious theatres now, like the Old Vic, Young Vic, National Theatre, I would say that the kind of percentage of black is at least 50%. But the problem is, because of the kind of population stats, the kind of quality of talent they draw on is substantially lower. So there's a definite decline in the quality of theatre that's happening because of this. And I feel like America has a similar problem as well. And that's why they end up importing so much British talent. You know, there's that kind of meme where like 70% of the black actors are British, just because there is no kind of pipeline in the same kind of way. So
it's very, very odd. I mean, I'm sure I mentioned this before. Mrs. A started to say, I'm wondering that when like AAA is growing up, will she start to think that the black people are just like TV people? These are the people who are on TV, because it's less like, who are they all? You know, because I've tried to explain this before to Americans. In Britain, you'll see Indians, Pakistanis, people from the Middle East, even increasingly in barbershops, you know, random Afghanis and Kurds and so on. But you don't really see black people that often, you know, maybe once in a blue, you'll see a few more in London in some certain areas. But even if you go down to Brixton now, it's not like it used to be. It's kind of like, where do they all live even? I mean, maybe I'm sheltered or something, but even in London, I don't see that many people around who are. But you see predominantly Muslim areas, but I don't know where the predominantly black areas are. Do they all live in Croydon, Farrow?
Yeah, it's all South London, I think. That's because you're a posh Westerner, you see. You're not slumming it. You need to go down south, and then you'll see where
I'll never forget one of my very first dates with Mrs. AA. I think my third or my fourth date. For some reason, I wanted to go to Edgware Road for something, and she was like, I am not going to Edgware Road. And, basically, she refused to go. She refused to go to Edgware Road. But she used to, I mean... She used to go to a lot of clubs in when she was a teenager, like 17, 18. She went to clubs in Chelsea and places like that. And I mean, she said a lot of the guys out in the clubs there, how can I say? There was definitely a gangster element, she said. There were like mafia members and Russian gangsters and people like that in the West End, running those clubs, basically. So, and you couldn't
you just get a higher class of gangster in the West of London, don't you, than the South. So,
But she was saying, like, if you were in those sort of circles, there was no, there's no real avoiding that. Like, you kind of know. So anyway, and let us continue then. So we're starting with Debenhams. Nobody expected the Debenhams voucher. I'll vouch for that. Okay, so let's make a start then.
What a time to be so young, missing out on things we should have done. All those new chapters, the first day of school, making new friends, spending time with them all.
Just want to mention, I don't know if you noticed, but I noticed she got 10 out of 10. What a little swat.
I didn't see that. I mean, this is the already the annoying, like, guttural, no, doggerel, they call it, don't they? You know, terrible quality spoken word poetry.
Yeah.
That's going on then. But she's being set up as a top of the class, little goody two shoes swat, this girl.
Yeah.
The stories we tell when we grew up.
Who's this? Why is this dude in the house?
Why is this?
Is that her dad? I mean, in all seriousness, why is he there?
It's meant to be the dad, but the look there, the look that you've caught him, he is looking like he shouldn't be there, doesn't it?
Sorry, it's just the very first advert, the very first.
Good
it's
Lord.
Just him. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is my thumbnail, right? Yeah, I think I'm going to make that the thumbnail already. Oh. I don't think we're going to get a better shot. Okay, let's carry on. Hold on. Let me make sure it's in MS Paint. There we go. I've got him. Are you serious, though? Is that meant to be a dad?
Yeah, that, I think it's a dad.
Okay, because that's normal. That happens all the time.
Also, look at the house. You know, her room had like a nice fireplace. These are some lovely mint and Victorian tiles on the floor. Yeah, again, this is another £1 million house.
Yeah,
I mean, this is an extremely middle class family, but her dad is this dude. What does he do? We know what he does. He is an actor. He's an actor.
He appears in Debenhams adverts.
it's like the old Keynesian meme. You know, the plug that plugs into itself. It's just like. This is the whole economy that keeps itself going. Oh, man.
I look back, haven't even been bitten. Those pages are blank. And now Christmas is coming.
Wait. Who's that guy then?
It's the granddad. Or there's something darker here.
Oh, no. Don't do it to me. I barely made it through the Norwegian Santa advert. I can't handle it again.
Well, how is this working? I mean, okay, that's the grand. So presumably, sorry, I'm just trying to keep up with the family relations here. This is her mother's father, presumably, not her father's father, unless something. Yes. Unless he too was a child in a Christmas Debenhams advert.
It's Debenhams adverts all the way down, yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
No.
The year we just had, we can all say that. So let's make this Christmas one to really remember.
He's not even a good actor. This is my issue. It's not even a good actor. That was such wooden... There's a style of acting that I would call. Do you ever catch like that show? It's not Casualty. It's like called Doctors. It's on around this time, actually. It's like a daytime BBC show.
There is a pipeline. Yeah,
it's this sort of acting in that as well. Kind of nobody. This man has never existed in any. This is just like pure like Rada to Debenhams advert pipeline.
Yeah.
This man does not exist.
Do everything bigger, the best ever December.
Scarlet!
Scarlet! Stop. Of course her name is Scarlet. Either Scarlet or Saffron.
Oh, stop. You know. Who is she? We started with this girl who got 10 out of 10 living in this house. Now this is his sister. How?
I wonder if it's a step relationship or something, maybe. So it's the double. Like,
She's her parents both got kids from other marriages. They've been divorced and now they're married again.
No.
I mean, yeah.
But if that's the case, who was the granddad?
The granddad is a visual representation of of England slowly dying on the couch as the rest of the world goes by.
What family is this? Where the father of father's ex-wife is there?
I mean... John Ball is asleep on the sofa dreaming of a better day.
Secret places to wrap every box, dress up the tree, fill up your socks. Do nothing by halves. All things considered, let Debenham himself have Christmas dinner.
Sorry, stop. Sorry.
Make magical memories.
Everyone's in pajamas, right? And then the old man is asleep, and then everyone wakes up, and then the old man is asleep again. This man is just he's not alive.
He's dead. He had a coronary. He's been there for days.
Yeah, and they go back further.
Make magical memories.
This is the wife. These two are married.
Wait, who's the other woman there?
He's got a daughter from another relationship. And then they got remarried. Well, hold on a second. There's another kid. Who's that?
It must be a separated family. I think you're right, yeah.
But if that's the case, who's he?
I told he's the actual homeowner and they sedate him constantly.
I mean, Crick and Watson themselves could not figure out the DNA in these episodes.
Also, just imagine you've bought some sexy underwear for your wife, right? And then you put it under the tree, and so in front of the children, she just pulls out the sexy bra, and your father-in-law's there. Just imagine the balls you have to do to do that.
People are saying this old man is just riding the tiger. He's taking it to the Oh, man.
Make magical memories for the ones that we missed. Because being together is what's top.
That's so dark, because there's the undercurrent of sex, isn't it? It's like, oh, we're having sex, remember? Yeah. And you, then the audience, have to be reminded that this relationship is happening and they have sex.
Yeah.
So you understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
You're constantly being reminded of this happening. And yet, he's got a grown-up daughter with another marriage, we think. Because it doesn't split that way, right? Let's pretend that this couple had three kids. You wouldn't get one who turns out like this and two who turn out. It just doesn't happen, right?
No, they
all turn out the same way, in my experience. Is that not true?
Yeah. And also, they've got this thing here where everyone's kind of happy. You know, you can have these broken homes and it's going to be fine. You know, my experience with other families where they have these broken homes is that everyone hates each other. There's all these kind of bitterness and resentment that comes from these broken families. And, you know, this is just like an absolute lie of what these families are like. And, you know, it should be a tragedy. This should really be like a sad story. This should be like an infomercial or something like that about the sadnesses of the broken home. And trying to navigate that that new landscape, but it's like everyone's dancing, everyone's having a great time, and then
I mean, maybe they're not showing the quiet moment where you know, Shaniqua Junior here says, "Dad, where's Mum?" Or where little Polly Perfect here says to Mum, "Mum, is that my real dad?" I mean, because presumably, I'm now thinking that this is a double divorcee family.
It must be. Yeah, they've both married and then they've got together again. Can I just ask who wears a tux for their Christmas Day celebration as well?
Well, she's wearing leather pants, I've just realised.
Yeah.
I'm guessing these are all things bought in Debenhams, right?
Yeah, I think that's.
The list. So that years from now...
Also, is it just me or are her kids ginger? So they're like, they're laying this on thick, aren't they? They're saying
there's some ginger in there. Yeah,
they're saying this is definitely not the dad because the kids are ginger, so that can't happen, right? I mean, I'm not a biologist. I'm not JF or Ed Dutton or anyone like this, but I don't think it works like that. You cannot have those two having like ginger kids. That doesn't happen, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, there are black gingers. I mean, it's a very strange phenomenon, but yeah.
People are saying it's not real leather. It's called pleather.
Pleather. Vinyl tries.
I still say.
Christmas this year was my best ever day.
Debenhams.com. A Christmas like never before. Delivered to your door.
Wake up, Grandad.
Oh, poor guy.
Oh, you're dead.
So he is the Grandad. Grandad confirmed there. He's been brought out of his slumber and now has to look at reality. Look at that face. Face
do you know what? I love the idea of seeding different worlds at the moment. next week, Deepest Lore is going to be me and Dee looking at old footage. And I love the idea of this grandfather's dream being that edition of the Deepest Lore.
he's just been thinking about how generations of his family has owned that house through blood, sweat, and tears, and how his daughter's gone off and had a broken home and has brought these interlopers into the household. So look at that, those sad eyes there. I mean, this actor should be paid in gold here. This is some quality acting. Just the facial expression of degradation.
Lost.
I just want you to take you back to this moment where it's revealed. Who's this?
Sweet home, and we can look back. Haven't even been.
Okay.
I do wonder though, with all these environmental regulations and all the green stuff coming in. I mean, what are they going to do when they totally outlawed coal burning?
Oh, I know.
Sorry.
So now we're going to go to another advert. This is Matalan. What is Matalan like? A kind of cheap clothes store?
It's kind of like a northern brand. I actually worked with them for ages. Their entire office, well, a lot of the offices are in old cargo containers. It was pretty scabby, but yeah, they're kind of like a low price, low value range.
I've seen a few Christmases.
Oh, yes. 2 seconds. 2 seconds.
Hold on. We've already got two women.
I don't understand. Oh.
Hold on. Right, she comes in.
That's
Grandma?
It must be Grandma, because there's no way that that's her kid. How old can you have a child? Like, even with IVF, it's like 42 or something.
And I've learned that Christmas is what
but
you make.
That's the wife?
I don't know.
I don't understand these family relations anymore.
Well, she's got hair like the child. So.
Well, who's this now? There's a third one.
You have to be perfect. What is that's perfect anyway? Wife. It's about the magic in those.
Well, look, that's the girl from the last advert, grown up.
It's the least planned moments.
Oh,
hanging out with old mates and new mates and the people you hardly know.
And now look, the next generation of inter-ethnic relationships.
Has anyone ever been? Has anyone ever had a Christmas celebration? Like who has these parties with 20 people of like everyone of a different race? I mean. You know, like friends and relatives and friends of, I mean, you know, Christmas is, I don't know, very odd. Very, very odd.
People in Debenhams and Matalan adverts.
So go easy on yourself. Perfect is what you make it. Real moments.
But who was she?
I don't
get it. Like, she was just a friend. Okay. I'm giving up even trying.
Matalan.
See what? Can I just get back to you?
I've seen.
Hello, I'm a friend. I'm a family friend of this family.
A few Christmases, and I've learned that Christmas is.
And this is my mate. That's why I'm here. I think that's the idea.
Also, he brings an orb. He brings a disco ball.
Yeah, it's a disco ball, kid. But there's so many people there. I mean, like again, who has these Christmas celebrations where there's just like. 30 people. I don't understand.
What's
these especially, or is this just
these are just the average. What's doubly subversive about MATLAN is, like, again, something like Debenhams, their head office is in the UK. I've been to it before, before they collapsed and went online only. So you can understand why that's super woke. But like I said, MATLANs are based in the Midlands. And again, it's staffed. I've met all of their like senior marketing team, all white, all like with regional accents. So again, if it's even like, how has it happened in those kind of places, you know, where you've got this kind of wokeification of the ads? That's where I find it particularly subversive. You know, you can get it if it was a London-based business, but when it's outside of London, it just shows you how far the tendrils of subversion have...
Do you know what I think they might be doing? Right. You know the kind of James Lindsay line of, you know, it's all about Martin Luther King, judge a man on his character, not by the content, you know, don't judge a man by his skin color, not by the content of his character. There's no such thing as white. Identity politics is all rubbish. You know, these are all James Lindsay talking points. Yes.
Mm.
And to a lesser extent, also Sargon talking points. Do you think that by laying it on this thick, they want to expose the fact that that is not actually how people feel? That if you make the majority of people in adverts black all of a sudden, people will notice and they will care. I.e., it is not true that people do not engage in white identity politics. They do. They do care. And the only way to show it is by almost like what, showing what it would look like if white people were a minority on television, something like this.
So you're saying it's done as, in a good way. I mean, I think that's certainly the consequence.
They're doing it in a way to force a kind of white consciousness onto people who deny that there's such a thing.
Nice.
Thereby kicking out the kind of you know, the Claire Layman position.
They're certainly not doing it intentionally. I think part of this is humiliation. I think part of this is indoctrination, and I think part of it is again, kind of, you know, showing the new virtue, and again just the power of the American Empire in our country. You know, the reason why, again, you always have to ask the question: why is it specifically black people and not Asian people? And again, it's because we've been fed from the teat of American ideology, where again the percentages are much more like it. So it's a particularly American strain of thought, because again, if it was genuinely about minorities, then it would be more actually reflective of the country.
Do you know if they do this in Europe, for example? I can't imagine.
Yeah. Yes, I've got.
Do they do it in France or
I got some
Italy.
French ads later as well. So
Italy,
no, because they're relatively based, but. And again, obviously, like...
But the thing is, there are actually quite a lot of black people in France. They're not...
Yeah,
like,
and Belgium, you know, but obviously Belgium's like...
Yeah, because they've got a lot of... they've got a lot of people from...
the Congo.
You know, former colonies
and Senegal
and places like that. You know, and you'll actually see them in Paris and elsewhere if you actually go to France.
It's a good point. The French traditionally have been quite snobbish about their adverts, and again, certainly, for example, in the luxury sector, they just wouldn't give a crap about other people, and they would be purposely elitist. There's a sort of baseness, I think, to French companies, where they're happy to be snobs and happy to be looked as snobs. But I think that has changed dramatically over the last 10 years.
Ofi is saying they do it in Israel too. How many? What's that group called?
It's the Ethiopians,
the Black Hebrews, or whatever they're called.
The Black Israelites is a different group, but there are loads of Ethiopians, aren't they, that have been genetically proven to be showing that they're Jewish.
Yeah.
What? So were they put Ethiopians on Israeli TV?
Well, they sent an Ethiopian for their Israeli Eurovision Song Contest one year, I think.
I remember when that was at the start of the whole trans thing, wasn't it? When Dana International won the Eurovision Song Contest on behalf of Israel.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's another deepest lore stream. Maybe just some of the worst moments from Eurovision would be quite.
Every moment from Eurovision is.
And the fact that Israel's not in Europe. Neither is Turkey, by the way, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
the other thing that strikes me about this is, of course, I mean, like, for black families,
this is also not true. I mean, most black families are not composed of, like, you know, like mixed race SWAT girls. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, like it also probably has no relationship to most black.
No, it's the Muhammad Ali clip I played. It's just not true of anybody.
No, like they don't exist. I mean, you know, if I was, you know, if I was black and watching this and my family, I mean, I would just feel just as weird about it. It's just like, who are these people? You know,
every once in a while they'll check a Chinese kid in as well. Have you noticed that? Every once in a while, it'd be like, yeah,
very rarely,
Chinese guy. Somebody said that actually, last week it was still 15% Asian. I didn't notice that as much, Pharaoh, did you?
No, yeah,
maybe they play token parts in the background.
I think that's it. They're padding out. Also, I thought it was interesting. It was exactly 50-50 women and men. So again, I think they are looking at the numbers. They are making that active decision. But it's just in. I always just find it fascinating that it's not about representing minorities in an accurate way. It's always disproportionately black. I don't understand the obsession.
You know, somebody ran the numbers. Somebody actually did ran the stats last time.
Yeah, yeah.
So see if I can find them.
Mongolian Dogra Land is a great.
See if I can find them, because it would have been one of the most liked comment or whatever.
Yes,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me see if.
That's the chat that also does the timestamps for UO, which are hilarious sometimes. So.
Top chat.
He's obviously a you know intensely autistic fellow, which is how we like them.
It's quite funny.
He's
too funny to be autistic. Come on.
All right. Okay. Mongolian Doggerland says the results are in, and the British Christmas Ad Census 2021: 225 men, 230 females, 115 unknown. African, 193 African or black, representing 42.4% of the total.
Good Lord.
69 Asians, which is 15.1%, and 42.4% European. That's 193. So there were exactly 193 Africans and exactly 193 Europeans, which leads me to believe that they do a one-to-one. They must do a one-to-one calculation there, because it's exactly the same percentage.
It's too accurate. But then, what about the black figure, though? That's what's interesting. Also, what this doesn't show is the physiognomy of these people. And again, one thing that I'm fascinated with is how they portray the white male. And again, that's why I sort of put in like the Chad dad. In my opinion, these adverts at Christmas time, there should be the vision of the iconic virtuous male who is looking after his family, he's providing for them, who is he's the center point of the family, and you just don't see him at all. So even though they've got the 50% male and whatever percentage left of white, even within those white males, there is no one inspiring, there is no one heroic or even virtuous at all. It's all of these soy people weathered,
sleeping granddad.
Beaten granddads that have been just totally destroyed by society and now is supping Baileys to get through the day.
Even the black men aren't, I mean, they're also like quite weak in general in these adverts. I mean,
I have noticed the kind of gentle soyification of the black man as well.
Yes.
You know, it's been happening slowly but surely. And on American TV, you see an increasing amount of very camp gay black men.
I was going to say the gay black man. Exactly, they're pushing it hard. And also, as a percentage, black people over-index for gayness, don't they? In America, yeah, I saw a stat about that. But I think it's an active effort to push them into those spaces.
Well, also, I mean, have you seen all those like Lewis Hamilton literally wearing like a lace skirt with a suit ball. I mean, they're literally now putting black men in like women's clothing, you know. Not to mention, of course, that whole fury over the rapper who was like, you know, being bummed by Satan or, you know, whatever. I mean, there also does seem to be this effort at subverting the masculinity of the black male.
If you study the leadership of a lot of the Democrat caucus, it's a lot of black women, you see. And I do remember, you know, back when I did a little deep dive on like black political YouTube, believe it or not, that's the thing, just to see like where they were. This was around the time when Ice Cube was going nuts on Twitter and things like that. So I just wanted to see like where they were, because do you remember all the rappers started, and then like after about a week the rapper started talking about you know, another group in America, let's just put it that way. And then all of a sudden they were shut down very quickly, if you remember, you know, because the ADL I'm going to stand for that. So anyway, I watched a bunch of these guys, and it was all basically big burly black guys moaning about women. Like all, it was almost like watching MGTOW space, you know, like they were all just moaning about the women having too much power within politics, and essentially them being cucked, basically. So
they do. Yeah. I mean, it's like in America, like the thing with the squad, or the thing with that, who is that gap tooth black woman who's like, who was running to be the governor of Georgia? I can't remember her name. Stacey Abrams. Yeah. I mean, that is the archetype. You don't see, you know, you don't see sort of like masculine, successful black men, for the most part, in any kind of political role.
No, they must be, you know, queened essentially by.
Exactly. I mean, it is literally the, you know, the reign of the of you know, of Shaniqua from HR, or the Department of Motor Vehicles. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, certainly black males are almost just as much victims of this as the white man.
Yeah, although I will say, you know, sorry to drop the black black pill hammer, I suppose, but anybody thinking, oh, maybe we could ally with these long term, I will just remember, I shared it on Twitter the other day, what became of the supporters of
Haiti, you know, the Haitian revolution,
you know.
Yeah,
he had them. I think there was 100 white loyalists, and he was like, yeah, you know, thanks for the help, everyone, but
thanks for the help, but you're going to hang.
And you know, literally for the sins of other white people, essentially. So I would not. It's a problem though, because as I mentioned before, in the laws of politics, you do need to make alliances, and it's problematic, because sooner or later some of these groups are going to have to ally, and it's like, how can you overcome those sorts of feelings in order to make this alliance, you know? And it's going to have to be like weird alliances, you know. You may have to find yourself in bed with bloody jihadis, BLM activists, and like Zionists, you know, a very unlikely coalition. But
sounds like a Debenhams ad.
how do you stop them killing each other, you see? And I think that's why I think the system's very good at that. It's very good at, like, you know, playing those divisions off against each other, so that any possibility of an alliance against them is already broken down, you know. Anyway, let's carry on. Here's Little
Dingo.
I'm sure we've seen him already, this actor. There's only about four actors, and they're just like in every other advert, you know.
Looks familiar to me.
Hold on.
Wait.
Now, this is the family of this man, okay, in his little jumper. What are we looking at here? Okay.
Who are those people?
This is the family. This is the typical Little family. So, one thing I would say is that obviously Little is targeting the kind of C1, C2 audience. So this is going to be working class, lower middle class audience. That is, they're value shoppers, basically, aren't they? So they're like going to be more original.
It's Jeffrey from Fresh Prince brought in as a living servant. But I'm assuming this is the wife. Is this the wife on the top left?
She's standing up.
But again, I just want to point out the male role model there. Look again, just again, he's not the Chad figure. He's just this tired old guy.
Who are they? Like, there's too many women here. Who's this meant
there's
to
a
be?
Lot of women.
Who's
there's a lot of women
woman here. Who's this sourpuss?
He's very unhappy. Yeah,
who's grot bags?
Who's Ginger?
Okay, all right. She does look a lot like Rock Bags from Enid Pink Windmill.
All I was going to say is that the actual scene itself reminds me of imagine like an upper middle class creative imagining what a working class family's kitchen looks like.
Yeah, only this man would never in a million years wear this jumper.
Why he would not put that jumper on?
Oh, watch out, what I think.
Wait, okay, is that his dad?
How's living in Spain, Uncle Gary?
Amazing.
Uncle Gary, okay, yeah, okay. So that's somebody's...
We like it.
At Lidl, we're big on quality.
We
and
like
always
it.
Lidl
so
on
she
price.
With him.
And we need always. Ding.
Let me take a picture.
Oh, what's up with that thing?
How's living on the moon?
Sorry.
Amazing.
We like it.
So, I mean, one of the issues I've got with this, Pharaoh, right, is that I was always taught to look for point of view characters. Who's our point? Like, if you're a woman, who are you meant to be siding with here? Who is meant to be
this young girl contemplating life in a small sausage? All I was going to say is that you're right. You're meant to be brought into the advert, but again, there's this disconnect. Where again, this doesn't feel like a real family or an organic family at all, does it? So it just doesn't work as a as an ad. But anyway, carry on.
But one of the actresses has clearly been chosen to have a sour face. They didn't do that they didn't do that by accident. It would have been, cast sour faced woman. No, that would have been the part.
But again, I think they're just looking for the kind of normal. How did Carlyle put it? Whatever the
imp face
dog face
exactly
face.
Looking for the ox faced woman to represent England, like what I love about this advert. So obviously you've got this kind of a couple of scenes. So you've got the scene at the beginning where it's the normal Christmas and then Lidl's there with you all throughout time. But not only is that a depressing concept, their idea of the future is just like, it's exactly what we have now, but with more technology, just a little bit more progress. And it's just like such a crap future.
The other thing I noticed about all these adverts is as you said, I mean, none of them, I don't get any warm Christmassy feelings about them because they all seem just completely false. Like they just, there's no point to which you can say, I'm sort of going to enter into this fiction. Because they just seem plastic in a weird way,
And I don't know if you ever watched any older adverts, but they'd often say things like, mum is getting the turkey out the oven, or they'd actually direct you a bit more. Mm-hmm. Here, we're continually left guessing, like, who is who? It's not obvious what the relationships are between these people, or who is even married to this strange man in the middle.
And no one has a Christmas. I mean, it's just like the Debenhams advert. No one has a Christmas party like this. It just like no one act like this.
Did you notice the Uncle Gary annoying the dad as well? So again, it's like the white guy annoying the black man.
Yeah,
with his terrible uncle, jokes.
And whose brother is he? Whose uncle is he?
Yeah.
Let me take a picture.
Oh, watch out with that thing.
Hideous advert.
We're living forever.
We like it.
Okay, I thought you'd go vegan.
Even when we're carving turkeys with lasers, we'll always be Lidl on price.
Hideous. Hideous
advert. What I love is their vision of the future, furniture wise, is like, I don't know, 60s furniture, basically.
Yeah, it's like 1960s vision of the future.
it's just
so bankrupt. Like, it's literally it's like, just you can get that furniture now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like what changes? Literally everything else is the same, but you can cook your chicken slightly faster. You can cut your chicken slightly faster. Nothing has changed, and these kind of ridiculous Harlequin outfits. It's just like,
it's amazing. Their vision of the future is literally just like sub Zardoz or whatever. You know, they just know this is it. Like, they're sort of bankrupt on imagination at this point. The own, even the vision of the future is derivative. I find that it's awesome.
It is like a pastiche of 2001, isn't it, really, or something like that. Again, just like the puffy shoulders, the kind of outfits are
just like bad IKEA furniture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even like good 60s futurist furniture.
Yeah.
That's kind of give the gift of connection. This is Vodafone. Ready? It doesn't barely even warrant comment anymore.
Yeah.
It's another black man, fellows.
Yeah.
I mean, Carol,
I hope you deliberately inserted something. No,
there's like three good ones in the entire set of 40. We've already had one of them. God,
I'm sure some nerd could probably figure out the percentage of the black male British population that's been in these adverts so far. Because I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Here comes Santa Claus right down Santa Claus Lane. And them blitzing and all his reindeers pulling on the...
They even had to use this cover version.
Rain. Bells are ringing, children singing.
All right, now, presumably she is the wife.
I think these are individual vignettes of...
Yeah.
All right, so this is not the wife of this man?
No.
All right. It's just another black person.
But look, can you see... The whole point is this is quite subtle, but can you see on the reflection... She's dressed up like Santa. So each of these people, if you see in the... hard to see that they're all kind of like Santas.
Oh, that's... Okay, I see.
But why are they Santas? We'll find out in a second.
Yeah. 1.5 million UK households don't have digital connectivity. This Christmas, you can help us change that. Donate your old devices and we'll donate the SIM cards with data, calls and texts. To give the gift of connection to those who need it. Because together, we can.
Oh, God.
So in some ways, it's not too bad an advert, and I quite like the concept of, again, the Santa reflected. But then again, I just hate that message of, there is not enough people on the internet. We must connect everyone. Everyone must be connected. We should.
Wasn't there another advert from the last?
Yeah, the O2 one. Exactly,
yeah, with the little robots. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the family that receives it. So you've got these kind of, you've got the virtuous minority characters versus the receivers, which is the broken home single mother as the pauper there, you know,
right.
receiving the gift. So again, it's setting up this idea of, you know, who's virtuous and who's not.
Somebody's saying I need a better graphics card. No, I don't. Shut up. I've got an amazing graphics card. So shut your mouth.
We love watching adverts at 3 frames.
I don't know why. It's frame rate.
It's for the viewers' benefits. If you saw these at full frames per second, your brain would literally melt. We can only show them as a slideshow.
it cannot be a graphics card issue. Must be a internet issue or something else.
Yeah, because we watched those films from your hard drive, and they were perfectly normal. It must be something to do with the internet interface.
Yeah, it's definitely not my graphics card, which is GeForce, whatever you call it.
No, as Pharaoh said, I mean it's for your own good. You don't want to see these at full frame, full resolution.
This Christmas,
it's going to be
a big one.
Can I just say we got to about 9 seconds there, but then we did.
Yeah,
we got nine seconds.
I was going to count.
Seven seconds.
I just given up. I don't.
So just at the start, obviously, there's. Do you know what the references are there? I think it was Independence Day with the White House blowing up.
Oh yeah,
yes, yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, these are the kind of Christmas things that you watch. You know, you watch
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, Millionaire, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's going on.
Another great moment. Can we just zoom back to the open mouth there?
Yeah, hold on.
That may have to, be the thumbnail.
Can someone turn that into a GIF? Just loop that. Loop that a couple of seconds.
Wow!
It's just so horrific. What God. Is this?
What is this advert? Oh. Oh, I hate this. It's so unpleasant.
They've got a minute, Darrow, and somebody decided the whole second, a whole 2 seconds of the advert would be this. This may have to be the new thumbnail. I'm going to change the thumbnail again. Yeah. That's unreal. What's happening in this advert? Somebody explain to me what's happening.
People are just receiving gifts. Again, there is no narrative to it. They sort of started it off kind of like, here are the things reminiscent of Christmas. You've got someone like dressing up for the Christmas office, etc. And now you've got the gift giving. I mean, one thing I would say is this is the most accurate set of families that I've seen. This is more like reality, but I have no idea why she is suddenly so excited that she's glitching in reality. Maybe as a false character, then she's just overloading the circuit.
I made that the thumbnail of the show. I'm not like, you know, people are going to think, oh well, you know, is this right? This is just a representation of what the adverts are. You know, these are just thumbnails from mainstream adverts in 2021. I mean, they made it, not me.
This is like the soy face. This is the soy face of consummation, isn't it? There. This is like
one last time.
I can't.
Mom?
It's amazing! You can't hear a thing!
Reverend, copy that.
Token Oriental kid.
You saw this on the Asian kid. You got 1 second there.
Great.
I see. I didn't. Baubles. Oh, yeah. Yes. Can I just say, I hate this. I hate the vulgarization where people are using kind of swearing euphemisms. You know, so obviously it's like bollocks to last year. But I just find it something so vile and disgusting about it. And again, people just using swearing a lot more. Like, I don't want to see swearing on the front of a book or in a TV advert.
Yeah,
I
think it really started with bollocks to Brexit, you know.
Yes,
I remember there was a kind of German floor store near me that put a massive bollocks to Brexit sign up for ages. He took it down in the end, but you know, since when was it acceptable to be that vulgar? And I do think there is something of that horrible, crude vulgarity on the left. You know, it's just part of their being. It's kind of it's not funny, it's not clever, it's not, but they kind of go for that slight boorishness occasionally, you know. But anyway,
well, it's also—I mean—it's also something that just sort of permeates pop culture. It's like one thing I I've noticed over the years, like children's films, like there's always like fart jokes and. There's always there's just a kind of crudeness that has crept into almost everything.
Have you seen the David Walliams series of books, which are very, very popular, very well rated, and they're just disgusting. I can't stand them. I think they're just so crass and stupid. And again, it's just constant gastric humor.
I mean, I reckon that, you know, I've got my rule of, you know, read no history books written after 1945. there may have to be a deadline for kids' books, because I've been reading like Mr. Men, AAA, yes, and Beatrix Potter. Winnie the Pooh is fine. But I have not ventured into later books. Peppa Pig seems all right. I know Poe is down on Peppa Pig. But...
No. I'm very much against it. But I mean, it's too much of a force. You know what? Daughter Albion created like a book list for kids and for adults, and that was quite good.
Oh, did she?
Telegram recently? Yes, on her Telegram.
Oh, I want that list. DOA, if you're watching, send me that list, because that would be very handy, I think.
Well, the other thing I didn't like about this ad, that advert was just like full of also just like very negative images, like. Even the woman, like her eyes bulging and her face glitching out.
No, that's what I'm saying.
People's heads popping open with rainbows coming out.
In another context, it would look like racist imagery, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
it's just very unpleasant,
like
mainstream in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, the advert started with like a house exploding. You know, it's just like, is that the kind of imagery you want for a Christmas advert? I don't know.
All right. It is is this a church? This could be a church though. Look. Festivities comeback concert.
I think that's I think it's a community hall, dude. This is
it's a church.
No,
I think it is a community hall.
Yeah.
What is a community hall?
What is a community hall?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a hall for the community goes to. It's like small villages have them typically, or towns.
Yeah, yeah.
A church, you mean?
No, it's like a big. No. It's like a big hall.
Yeah,
people. Right. Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. First up, we have... Laurie!
Come on, Laurie.
This is not the Nutcracker.
Love it! Woo!
Where is Boots?
God.
Early Christmas present. Thought it should come out with a bang this year.
Divine.
I mean, you know,
I hate the world. I would just want to. I just need. Can I go to Mars or something?
Up against this crop, though, this is actually.
I don't think it's that bad. Like you've got the full. You've got like an actual normal Asian family. So again, that's like a remarkable. I thought the shoes themselves are a little bit camp. But like,
why did they keep showing the shoes? What was the point?
Because
of that?
That's, so basically the whole idea is that. He's messing up, but then he's got his rock star shoes on, and that kind of inspires him because DK Maxx sells a lot of shoes. And then you get a series of, again, little images of different people and different families, like dressed up nicely in DK Maxx clothes. What was he playing? Was it Deep Purple? Was it?
No.
I think it was maybe an Aerosmith, but this will be in it. This will be an obscure reference to some, though. To me, it sounded distinctly like Bald Bull Bull's music from Super Punch Out on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, that's a obscure reference, all right. Oh, dare, dare.
Yeah, so also, you can find,
He's also kind of doing a, you know, he's playing organ, so he's doing a kind of Rick Wakeman. Emerson, Keith Emerson.
I was thinking it was a little bit Brockfield as well, but
yeah, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, famously, Keith Emerson used to play his Hammond B3 with his, you know, with his feet and with behind his back and all that. I don't know. It just seemed very vulgar to me.
Right? No. Let me just hear me out here, okay? This is Bald Balls theme tune for a Super Punch Show. Okay. Just hear me out. That kid was playing that tune, was it not?
What's the date of this?
Huh?
You don't think Aerosmith ripped off the riff from this? That would actually be an amazing find.
I think Super Punch Out was 1992.
Yeah, no, Aerosmith Super Punch Out ripped it. Yeah, no, they took
yeah,
it.
I think it's a good Aerosmith, isn't it?
Lifted it from Aerosmith, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Dear.
Okay. Christmas cheer, everyone. Let's carry
hated
on,
it. Hated it.
Unexpected guest from John Lewis. At least we don't have to wait 7 seconds this time.
I only knew you for a while.
Christmas tree.
I never saw your smile. Till it was time to go, time to go away.
This is
sometimes it's hard to recognize. Love comes as a
look. She's like in it. You're meant to identify with the alien, see?
What? It strikes me. It's a black child feeding on like an alien white person.
Yes, but I think you're meant to identify with the alien, you know, as the kid thinks back to his stereotypically advert-filled Christmas Day, which doesn't exist in the actual real world, but is now enough of a trope for it to be left behind in this John Lewis advert.
And it's too late. Just too late to stay. Too late to stay. We'll always be together, however far it seems. We'll always be together, together in electric dreams.
Time to go back to Rivendell.
Together, however far it seems.
So what the fuck was that?
I mean, the whole thing is very creepy. Morgoth actually did quite a long video discussion about this already that I'd recommend people check out. But
where did he do that?
It was ages ago. It was like last month. So you'll have to look quite far back on his channel. But it was very, very entertaining.
What did he say? Because I can't make head nor tail in it.
Basically, the plot is that the alien girl crash lands and befriends a small black boy who then becomes best friends, and he introduces her to the magic of Christmas, and then she disappears. But there's a couple of interesting things there. Where obviously, you know, who is the alien? The white person, the white looking person.
Yeah.
Person. Mm. But like the whole concept of the ad is very strange, and like John Lewis has been on in massive advertising decline in terms of quality of adverts for a long time, and this is it just doesn't make any sense in my mind. Like, what's it showing? That the Christmas cheer makes aliens kiss you. I didn't really understand. So yeah, like yeah, the sexual element to the kind of alien love is very strange as well. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like it was weird.
Very strange, yeah. But also, I mean, one of the other things is now the black boy is the custodian of kind of white culture, if you want to put it that way. Does that make sense? Like he is showing the alien white girl what Christmas is all about, even though it's Christmas in the form of, you know, white culture, if that makes any sense. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, commercial secular Christmas, you know. I mean, also, I mean, it's obviously kind of an E.T., you know, that it's kind of like the E.T. story, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But again, I think all of that's like cultural references that younger generations won't necessarily pick up on. And again, it just doesn't work as an advert, in my opinion. It's like, what's it showing? Like, why would I buy stuff from John Lewis? Again, they're just trying to create these kind of quote unquote, like when you step into creative meetings and they're talking about stuff, I mean, they're in another world. There's like an entire vernacular of bullshit that they'll talk about. They'll be like, you know, what's that? What's the epic moment? What's the kind of the moment that people are going through? And the moment it's all about, like when he hands her the toy at the end or whatever, and it goes off. But again, it's just like so divorced from the reality of trying to sell a product. That these people think that they're writing a movie, not trying to flog.
Exactly. It's almost like they're trying to make every like one of these big adverts is like, okay, we're gonna make the most epic Christmas advert. It's a competition, you know, who's gonna do the heart touching, you know, forward facing, you know, most amazing advert. Yeah, it's getting back to the stone toss thing, you know. How's it helping sell things at John Lewis? You know, sell things. What?
I mean, it is also an inversion of the ET thing, though. Where remember ET phone home? Of course, if you know a little bit about ET, that's all a bit symbolic as well. Of course, you know, just have to read into the symbolism of that film a little bit. ET is trying to phone home. Where's he trying to get to? Hello. Think of the director, but still, but God still, no, I'm just telling the truth. It's not that thinly veiled symbolism in ET, but in this case, it's, you know, the black kid trying to show the white girl the way back home. You know, it's kind of very, very odd.
Just one comment on the song as well, because again, that's an electro classic. And again, there's just this habit of like, yeah, let's just slap a young woman doing an acoustic soulful cover of an 80s song, and it's just always shit. It's literally it's never any better than the original. And again, in my opinion, a cover should be a new interpretation of an existing song. It should be an improvement or an exploration of some of the other features of it. And that's with all of these songs, it's just such a cynical. We're just going to tap into that song you like, and we're going to squeeze the last bit of life out, and you're going to be like, you're going to recognize it, and you're going to like this advert because of it. There was actually a John Lewis actually got sued because they went to an artist who did a version of Together in Electric Dreams, this woman singer, and she basically turned them down or something like that. They couldn't come to an agreement. She was too expensive. So they basically just found some other random bint, got her to record it, and then did it anyway because they're so ten a penny, these like talentless. Yeah. Average women singers, basically.
Yeah. Well, that is always a thing. Well, it isn't like there was another advert in the last stream, which was, I think, who's that woman's name? Katy Perry, like seeing a really mediocre cover of All You Need Is Love, but like again, and the McDonald's advert with, you know, another one of these vocal fry like women singing a Cyndi Lauper. Lauper song.
It's just occurred to me that in that last advert they couldn't afford Aerosmith, so they paid McDonald's. They paid Nintendo for. feel like nobody will ever notice. It's not really Aerosmith. It's really a cover of Bald Mike. All right, let's carry on.
You're ruining Christmas for me, Farrah.
Go all out with Christmas, this Christmas, with Sports Direct. So we had JD last time as our point of comparison, didn't we? So
this is
that Piers Corbin? Piers Corbin. Oh, no. Okay, let's have a look.
Come on, bro. Best of three.
Can I just say, obviously we're 6 seconds in and we've already seen two black people, but even the white guy is blackified. This is
Merry Christmas.
Right, wait. That is a blackified young man. Do you know what I mean by that? I think he says bruv.
It's the kind of culture. But again, his kind of cultural points are aligned to another culture. And I think you're right. And again, this is a huge problem where, you know, society.
Well, I mean, half the young people today, I mean, half the young white people,
happened a long time ago with those jazz howlers, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but again, people talk about the ghetto, but this is not even ghettoization. Or again, people living in the ghetto. This is, again, if you go to any kind of working class or even lower middle class area or even middle class, you'll see, again, people aping this this culture, pretending to be.
You want to know a secret? Don't tell Mrs. AA this, right?
Uh-oh.
I am not allowed to wear joggers, okay, at home.
Good.
Because Mrs. AA is like, the neighbours will see you. I was like, so what? My mother will see you. I was like, so what? Yeah, you can't wear joggers.
Yeah, standards.
In polite society, right? Or a hoodie. So I have gone to Sainsbury's and bought a joggers and a hoodie just to wear in the lodge. I am currently wearing a hoodie and some joggers.
Oh my goodness.
No. Oh.
Yeah. As soon as I get in the lodge, I get into my slumber wear, you know, because it's for in the house. And I say that to Mrs. A. I say, it's just for in the house. She was like, there is no in the house. They are the clothes you wear. There is no in the house. It's very common, she says. Well, there is in the lodge, Mrs. A. So. Yeah, she won't
absolutely
be listening.
Absolutely subversive. Your lodge is a den of iniquity, sir.
Den of iniquity. I mean, you know, it's
bringing down the lodge.
I'm usually just in my pants, so.
I mean, before now, she's even destroyed joggers of mine. I'm like, where are my joggers? Oh, I don't know. You know, she's literally put them in the bin. So
deeply neurotic woman. This.
Can I just say, just in terms of like, this is more like just a normal house in England. Like, you can say what you like about JD and Sports Direct. I think they have a more like close understanding of what the typical English household looks like, and it's kind of like this, basically, as opposed to the little weird family with a nice household that, you know, everything was perfect.
People saying this has a dealer vibe. It does. Like, this could be cocaine on the table here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Come on, bro. Best of three.
Oh, don't be so boring.
I'm busy.
Come on, girls. It's snowing.
It's snowing?
Oh, it's snowing.
Yeah, it's snowing, all right.
It's snowing, man. I'm trying to go outside.
Here we go. Got ya.
Are these people we were meant to know?
These are all,
I think they're
Dino.
These are the Dinos of this world. I think he might be a footballer. That one.
That's the tennis woman, the Radadowski.
Oh, they're all sport people.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't think it was that bad. I thought that was one of my more wholesome ones.
Is the rotund black gentleman some sort of YouTuber?
No, he was famous TV personality, Big Nasty. Big Nasty, yes. He's kind of like, he's a very strange character because they sort of, people bring him on to sort of laugh at him because he says stupid things. It's a very, very strange, scenario. He's like a point of comedy.
In a way, the person I've identified with most so far is the alien. So far, I mean, I don't recognize any of this world that we're like. Maybe we're all the weirdos, and that we just don't recognize the real world anymore. Maybe no. The real life is like that.
No,
you know, no, when I went to when I had to change my tire, a lot of the guys working in the store are like that Dino guy. You know, kind of. Anyway, Piers Paddington. I thought we did this one.
No, we've done this one. Sorry, apologies, because you changed the order last time.
I can see. I can see the next one is called The Stepdad, right?
Oh, no.
Right. No. Frame one. Have a look. It's just relentless.
Good Lord.
This is great. This is a brilliant one. This is Disney as well, by the way. This is your... Just, I love to think what Walt will be thinking. Just, I want to send them to the future.
Well, they're advocating divorce for one. He's already, you know...
Exactly. This is a great one. This is one of my faves.
This is the great hope, is it? It's not a great start, Pharaoh.
I mean, no. It's great because it's so terrible.
I was going to say that. It sounded like he was being sarcastic.
Can I just say, before we even start, I know this is obviously a CG representation, but I have noticed that the ideal black guy has a beard and looks a bit like this. He's kind of cuddly and looks a bit like this. They've all kind of been of a type, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's not like kind of, you know, bald Mike Tyson black guy or, you know, like George Foreman black guy, or it's always been like cuddly Jeffrey looking guy with a.
Well, beard. I mean,
a non-threatening type of fellow.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, the chat is alluding to who it potentially could look like.
The nose reminded me of a certain someone, but I'm not going to say who it is. Yeah.
Are people saying it's the Idris Elbification of the black man, where everybody's kind of sub Idris Elba? Is that the idea?
I think it was another virtuous and holy figure within
a holy figure, almost the same at this point.
Are you talking about Jesus? Are you talking about Jesus? I mean.
No.
Okay. No. No. Never mind.
Are you talking about?
Look.
Oh,
look,
George. Oh, I see.
Saint
Fentanyl. I see. Right.
Yes. Yes. I mean, this could be Femi if he starts playing a piano in a second. Did you see that tweet going around?
No.
No. Like it was Femi was saying how on his first date he was regaling a young woman with an electronic piano piece or something like that. It was hilarious.
What does Femi do now that there's no more like Brexit to rail against?
I thought Femi was gay.
I thought Femi was gay.
I don't know.
Anyway, let's carry on.
Anyway, yeah.
He must be at a loose end though, you know, since Remain stopped being a thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
He's probably very pro vaccine now, I'd imagine, right?
Oh, yes, of course.
I mean, who is it? Right, the dog.
Hold on a minute. I've got to check out these family relations. Sorry. Is she Native American?
Well, it's ambiguous. Either Asian or Southern American.
I
wondered whether it was like Latin American, because again, I really think that that Disney and the other corporations have got them lined up as the next big target to crack. Did you hear about
I've noticed Disney has been quite Hispanicified for longer than some of the others.
Yeah, well, it's a huge audience. And again, you've got to remember that a lot of Latin Americans are very, very Christian at the same time. And in fact, in some ways, you'd say they're the biggest Catholic bastion. But it's interesting how... Did you see they had the Doritos advert recently where they had the kind of gay dad ghost?
Yeah.
Did you hear about that? Yeah. But they're specifically targeting... Latin Americans to subvert their culture now. So,
what are those stars they're playing with?
Just origami.
Oh, just okay. All right.
Yeah, they've got the little Mickey Mouse there as well, which is quite a good little touch there. It's quite clever.
Of course, according to E. Michael Jones, there are only three ethnic groups in America: Catholic, Protestant, and Jewish. So, you know, the Hispanics won't mind.
Nah, great.
Hold on. Sorry. Indian gran.
No, I think it's the grandma, is it?
Yeah, she's Indian, look. Like she's fully like Hindu Indian. So
she. Oh.
Well, look.
He knows.
Unless I'm misreading that.
Is she E.T.? That's another
she
yeah.
could be E.T., yeah, she could be E.T.
When you open the door, I'll be standing there.
Oh God, we're not going to get copyright for this howler, are we? I'll just pause every once in a while. That sounds like a famous singer to me. Yeah,
I didn't.
With a heart full of joy and enough to spare, because love runs deeper. Love runs deep.
So he is the stepdad of this like Japanese family, but they've got like an Indian.
He's just peeped in.
Gran, okay, he's moving in. At least they're explaining it, unlike many of the other adverts, you know.
Deeper than words, first page of a brand new beginning, a new.
The universal language, of course, Star Wars.
Stepdad, gonna find myself in it. I know it's hard adjusting to the winds of change.
I'm gonna have to keep on pulling. I've got a feeling this is like some hit single that we're listening to here.
It sounds like the song is describing the
what's going on as well. Though,
yeah,
but that doesn't mean that it won't be a hit single. There's no way this guy didn't release this.
But just like a compass, you can show me the way. She said, "Come on, there's plenty of room, but I'll just watch and learn, see how you do what you do."
So basically, the children were given this book by their parents. Their Disney book, yeah. And it's kind of like that's the time reminiscent of their old father, and he's not interrupting like a good stepfather. He's letting their he's creating space, you know. Letting
who is their father? Time. I think their father was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. But look at it, Hawaiian, like a Hawaiian. You know, like some Hawaiian guys look Japanese. I think they're Hawaiian. In the international language of Disney, this is the race of like Lilo and Stitch. Am I wrong?
Adam and Stitch, what?
Lilo and Stitch.
Oh.
How you get the magic jumping off of the page? A million questions running around in my brain. The math is simple, but the feelings are not.
Do you think this situation has ever happened where the stepdad is this way around? Where it's this dude coming into this family? Has that ever happened in the history of the world?
I'm sure it has. I'm definitely
sure. I'm sure it's happened once. It's
all the time.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, that the young boy is more like Japanese and the young girl is more like kind of...
Yeah, it's very, very ambiguous, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that it's deliberately ambiguous. It seems like they calculated how to put them in the center of this kind of racial matrix, so you wouldn't really know. I mean, they could be South American, they could be Mexican, they could be Native American, they could be whatever.
I feel like they're Polynesians, whatever they call it. Maybe that's just my wrestling bias. Anyway, carry on, Pharaoh. Pharaoh? Pharaoh is muted.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's carry on.
Comes for it's hard to even the odds, but you can count on me too. I'll be there for you. No pressure, take all the time you need to.
When you open the door.
Can I just say one thing as well? He just seems like he's never seen these children before, and he's moving in. Do you know what I'm saying? It's very strange. And also, I think there's a stat where like step parents has got the highest chance of like child abuse and murder or something like that. It's kind of
oh,
like,
God's sake!
So,
but it's just kind of like, why has she brought this man into the household? He barely knows the children.
Look who it is!
Oh,
Christmas Poe is back.
I just had to insert myself. I've got no kid this time, so I'm at a loose end. But I have to tell you, because you're missing an important aspect of this particular advert, which is that it's a sequel to Disney's advert from last year.
Oh, right.
What happened? So, I can't remember.
So the mom in this advert is the little girl from... You know, when you showed that picture...
Oh, that had the stars. Yeah.
Yes.
So this old lady is like an immigrant from, I think it's Indonesia or Bangladesh. Like some lesser Asian country. and she came to America, England, or whatever, and she got this like Mickey Mouse toy, which she then
gave
down to a little girl, and that little girl is now the mum in this, and that's why they're making the stars as well, because the star was the visual motif from the last advert, where that it was like the Christmas tradition from that Asian countries that she's from to make those paper stars, which I actually think are quite charming. And then now she's got married. There's a lot that's happened in her life. It looks like her husband must have been, like you say, Japanese or Chinese or something for these children to end up looking like this, because they do not look like the grandma. So there's a lot to fill in.
Oh, so that's why the grandma was the kind of Bangladeshi woman?
Yes, yes. In the picture. She was in the last advert.
Yeah. But why is she in the Why she invited this random guy to the household? That
like he does seem like he never met these children before in his entire life.
I mean, God help anything would happen to Mr. Popo. But I mean, if it did, would you let this man into your house?
I'd be celibate for the rest of my life, of course. I couldn't say otherwise with my husband listening.
I mean, just look at him there. He just looks so awkward next to them. He just literally just like not a natural father at all.
Okay, I'm gonna leave because I wasn't invited. I just dropped myself in to say that.
You just wanted you wanted to say that. Say,
yeah. Have a good show, guys. Enjoy yourselves.
I'll be standing there. No, the patience is floor. Not going anywhere. Hear me even in silence. Through the breath.
Who are they?
That's his family. That's his parents. Yeah.
That's his family. Okay. All right. They're all still together, of course.
Stimulus, because love runs deeper, love runs deeper than words.
Sorry.
We have a broken interracial family in 2021.
But also, this is some shit parenting right now. Okay, so he's gone off. He's doing the washing. He's seen that the children are up beyond their bedtime, reading stories late at night. You got to stop that immediately. Otherwise, they'll be cranky the whole next day. This man is not prepared to be a stepdad. He has zero training. You got to chastise the children for staying up late and breaking the bedtime. What is this?
They'll be waking up late and then, you know...
Ruined. Their routine's ruined.
They'll literally grow up to be AA is what they'll grow up to be.
You know, it was surmised that I never had a proper routine because I was, at this pivotal age, I was on the ship, of course, on my dad's ship. So I never had a normal routine. So I was always in a different time zone.
This is some deep, deep backstory. Go on.
My dad was a chief engineer on the ship.
Yeah, so they let you stay on the ship.
Yeah, we all lived on the ship for about 6-7 months. We came ashore when I was 3. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You spent your infant days on the high seas. Amazing.
Yeah, on the a combination of the high seas and Singapore.
Hey, I South thought Korea I had heard every single AA anecdote.
This is a great new story.
This is a new story.
Please, can someone Photoshop baby AA on a boat?
I was in Tokyo at the age of 3. I went to Tokyo Disneyland. I've been around the world.
Very cool.
Been around the world, yeah.
I can't find my baby.
I can't remember any of it, of course. I mean, it was a common trope when I was a kid of my parents saying, "Oh, you've been there." I was like, "What? When?" Oh, yeah, when you were 2. You know, when you were 1. I've been everywhere.
This beats hearing about the barbecue
kebab
sauce. The barbecue sauce quitting McDonald's, or the 26 chicken sandwiches in 14 seconds. Yeah.
Somebody else brought up a story I've told before. The what was the other anecdote that I routinely tell? Let's have a look. Because I've only got about 12, and they rotate, right? what was the one somebody mentioned on Twitter? I can't remember now. Oh yes, my cursive handwriting that I was trained by
all the way to Swansea.
Yeah. All right, let's carry on.
Life is such a blessing every waking minute. Perfect picture full of colors, always painted different.
Stick together, yeah, we're here for the ride. Family forever, standing side by side. The math is simple, but the feelings are not. When three becomes four, it's hard to even the odds. But you can count on me too.
I will say, you know, all the other politics of this aside, I can imagine being a step parent is a very difficult gig.
I'll just put it.
I'll be there for you. No pressure. Take all the time you need to.
Stop there. Again, I would not take that. That little kid, she's the one that smashed it. Yep. She wants to run off and cry. It's her fault. She needs to realize the consequences of her actions, quite frankly. Again, terrible parenting. Just accepting the fact that he tried to save it. He tried to save it, and it was the little girl that broke it.
He did. And now he's going to go and grovel for the children, I bet.
Pathetic, weak parent.
Very weak.
Can I just say, as a controversial fan of hip-hop, I will just note that even hip-hop has been subverted in this song. The Wu-Tang Clan would be fucking disgusted listening to this track in the background.
It's a terrible song.
You know, they've started singing. They've, you know, abandoned any idea of it being rap anymore. You know, it's...
Yeah, I mean, and if you've been paying attention to the lyric, it's a complete crap.
You know, they'll take your culture and wear a skin no matter what that culture is. Even hip-hop is subverted.
Even hip-hop.
Oh, look, he's a white supremacist. Do you remember that? White supremacists drink milk?
Milk, yeah.
Sorry, hold on a second.
Wait.
I do want to question the midnight milk drinking here. Like, he pops down with the lights off just to have a delicious sip of midnight milk.
Somebody's saying I'm trying to ally with BLM. How delusional. I told you.
BLM. What?
I told you about the Haiti story. I'm not being delusional. I'm just saying that sooner or later, there's going to have to be some form of alliance. And it's like, you know, this is why the empire is so kind of evil in their genius, in a way. They're so Machiavellian because they've made it so that the groups that would have to unite all hate each other. You know, how are you going to ally Christians and jihadis, or like, you know, slighted southern boys like Turnip and BLM? They're just not going to ally. They hate each other. Yeah. So it makes it very difficult. So there we go. You say another word, John's son, you'll be banned out here in a second. Can I just say, how can there be another minute of this left?
Oh.
How is there another minute? What else can possibly happen?
Sorry, we're stuck again.
When you open the door, I'll be standing there.
Right, again, this is reinforcing terrible behaviors. If the child has just destroyed the gingerbread hut, you make the child remake the gingerbread hut. This is enabling bad behavior in the household. Terrible, terrible parenting.
Like, I thought he was just going to go and apologize, but he, I mean, you know, really groveling now.
Patience is pure, not going anywhere, and I believe in magic and the way it works, because love runs deeper than words.
God.
You see, I still have to wonder who all this is for, though, because this man that they're trying to like meme into existence doesn't fuck the little man, this dude, all the dads in these things doesn't fucking exist. So what are they trying to, like, what's the agenda here? Are they trying to push black men into being fathers and stepfathers through like positive representations of African American or, you know, black British men in father figure roles to like fix the Tom Sowell problem. You know, the one parent family issue. What are they even trying to do?
He's not even really positive, though. I mean, all of them have been so weak. I mean, they're just like weak, cowed men. They're just like the, you know, they're becoming just like the white, you know, the weak, soy white men that you see in adverts all the time.
Okay.
I hated the
But I'm saying that at least... I'm just saying that of all the demographics, you know that there's one demographic that has a very high rate of single parent families.
Yeah.
All the data we have on this is, you know, and many of those single parent families are single mother families, right? Because the father's like buggered off, gone to jail, whatever.
I would say a majority of them are single mother families. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are they trying to meme into existence? This man who doesn't exist, this little jumper wearing, you know, black stepdad figure, because we've seen enough of these now for this to exist as a trope in advert world. But why? That's my question. Like, they're trying to socially engineer something, but what? Like, who are they trying to reach with this? Because it can't affect me, you, or D. We cannot be the target audience for it, right? So who is the target audience, and to what end? That's my question. If I was sitting down with the marketing people here, I'd ask them the same question. What would their answer be, though, Farah? What are they trying to get out of these adverts?
Yeah, I have no idea, but I think there's it's interesting that we've kind of seen this trend, and you know, it could be part conditioning, it could be part trying to kind of rehabilitate. I think there is something also about that you just can't have a kind of a virtuous and strong white male, and I think that's as much as part of the decision as so for example, imagine this advert with an Asian family where like a white father comes in. That just wouldn't be allowed. You know what I'm saying? It would feel, I think the people sending it out would feel strange. They'll be, oh, he's like a white, I mean, white savior.
People saying they have no plan. These things take thousands of hours of planning. Every second of this advert has been pored over by committees. And tell me, they don't have a plan. They must have some sort of plan.
But what I'm saying is, I think it's almost like a negative choice, because they can't have the white male. It has to be someone else. And so you've got you end up with these overly virtuous minority figures. Do you know what I'm saying? So just imagine this advert with like a white male with an Asian family or whatever. There'll be outrage and scandal for this white savior to come in and sort out the family. Do you know what I'm saying? So
it has to be the black savior instead.
Yes, exactly.
So he seems like a white man anyway. I mean, it just doesn't, like, but
this is the issue. The man that they're depicting, I'm not saying it's impossible for him to exist. I'm just saying statistically he's extremely unlikely to exist, this man. You know. But there he is. Okay, anyway.
I mean, he would be a soft middle-class white man, you know, like if this was done, you know, in a more realistic way. I mean, he acts like it. The whole situation seems to suggest that, you know, his, again, like as Farrow said, I mean, he's already shown that he's just a weak, passive role model and father for these children.
I mean, let's face it. He is literally living the life of I mean, no offense to anybody who's a stepfather, but it is the definition of cuckoldry to raise another man's kids. I mean, it is, though. If you raise another man's kids, it's seen as a, you know, you're kind of, you know, there was even memes about it in, like, not only in, like, MGTOW world, but also in, like, mainstream feminist publications, you know, where they talked about, so what was it, Alpha Fucks and Beta Bucks, was that what they called it? You know, get knocked up by an alpha and then get, like, a beta simp to look after them. Am I wrong?
Not heard of that, but
there's something about that. And again, I think maybe there is some kind of bigger conditioning thing around just accepting other people's children as the norm, as opposed to having families of your own. So yeah, it's interesting how many just how many broken families are in this and how much it's pushed as not only acceptable but a positive thing. You know, the children are having a good time because of it, you know. So
yeah. I'm not inventing memes. This is true. I mean,
no, I didn't hear those terms, but I certainly have seen many times this idea of, yeah, that raising other people's children is a form of puppetry. I've seen that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, I think it's, I also think, you know, I don't want to knock anyone. I would imagine it's an extremely difficult thing to do and quite a noble thing to do as well. You know, all things in, but like genetically speaking, it's also like, you know, difficult situation, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got a couple more of these to go and then we'll wrap this up. So here is Erst. Who are Erst?
I can't remember. There's this is just from a list I got. I think it's a European country.
I mean, he's white, but, yeah, but I can also tell soy. He's European. I can also tell he's European. Already,
yeah, also, it's like maximum soy already.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at weak chin.
Phrenology.
Glasses. Yeah.
Something European about him. Urbane. EU loving.
Sorry. Stop a second. You see that pose that he's even got his hand in his pocket. What he's doing is teeth. That's just like terrible body language. Anyone with a hand, exactly. Yeah, anyone with their hands in their pockets. But carry on.
He's probably like a literally equality, diversity, and inclusion officer, isn't he? My love. That was a pretty Chad move, though. Fair play to him. I'd miss if I tried to do that.
It, of course, into the recycling bin. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Because.
Oh, no, he got it wrong. Like, he was corrected by his,
by his
Greta Thunbergian daughter.
Like. Oh.
And there's look at this is positively idyllic. I mean, this is the first intact white family we've seen in just over almost 2 hours of doing this.
Well, I'll tell you something that isn't intact is his balls.
I just want to say I saw someone in chat say that it's a German public TV, so you know it's intact for now, but not after the new new guys come in.
The live in Syrian.
Oh, fucking hell.
See that picture I tweeted out the other day of the German couple with the Syrian man sitting between them?
Just on that, have you noticed how both their head shapes are relatively round, but the child is kind of like a rugby ball? So it's like, doesn't match the father. All I'm saying is the child doesn't look like the dad or the mum.
God's sake.
My love. She's cute, though, you know. For a
she's
cute
for
a misshapen, horrible eldritch abomination. Yeah.
Oh, look, his safety helmet. This guy is such a
oh my God.
I have to stop myself. I have to remember we're on air. I was about to say something that I would have regretted, so
yeah,
he is such a soy latte sipping character.
I can give you an F word pass.
No.
Okay. Miserable child. Make the world
more beautiful. Just to be clear, when I said she's kind of cute, I meant the fucking wife, not the daughter.
Yes, I know, we know.
All right. Well, she's all right, isn't she?
Animated character. This is like anime. This is your...
Also, why is this song in English?
You can say like Jasmine from Aladdin is all right, can't you?
Okay.
Why is the song in English? I thought it was German advert.
Well, you know,
my love. I can't wait to show you. Oh, my love.
But that is the image of what a German man is meant to look like in 2021. Yeah. Like this kind of, you know, urbane kind of Jurgen Klopp lookalike kind of character.
Oh, my love. My love. I can't wait to show you. Oh, my love.
Right. So the whole concept behind it is that the child pestering the man has yet to be born. So he's making those decisions for the future of the child. But like this was actually in my wholesome pile. Because again,
this was one of the better adverts because you know they're an intact family.
Yeah,
she's having another kid. Yes. You know, it's multi-generational. There's the Burkean contract. I mean, exactly. Okay, he's a bit snobby, but...
yeah, and he's thinking about his child as well, which I quite liked. But, I mean, what he's thinking about is doing kind of cringe climate change stuff. But still, like, this is the best we're going to get, I think. So,
that is certainly sifting through the ashes to find a nugget of gold, isn't it?
But notice that when they're trying to persuade people to believe in tomorrow, the racial politics is dropped all of a sudden.
Yeah, that is actually really true. If you see a lot of climate change ads, they just switch back to normal families again. That's very true.
You know, for the purposes of that propaganda, we'll drop all the other shit. And, you know, now just think about the recycling. All right,
also, I also would suspect that there are certain demographics who don't give a shit about climate change. And I would think that almost the entirety of people who are head up about climate change are like Hans and Gretel there.
Somewhere John's son is seething after I banned him again. But, you know, it's not difficult. Don't fucking bug me. I mean, the rules are very simple. Just don't bug me. How long have people been around this channel to know I will just ban you if you annoy me? So don't annoy me. Let's carry on. This is holiday.
Okay. This is all about the tagline. This is all about the tagline. The advert itself is pretty average, but just the tagline at the end just blew me away. Carry on.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so this is holiday opens up with Samsung. This is Galaxy is Samsung's mobile phone.
Yes.
You are my fire, the one desire.
Dark. Already dark.
Really dark.
How?
Also, did you notice that even though she is ostensibly white, there's a hint of some like Spaniard or Italian or something in her? There's some like, she's not like basic white English, this girl, in my opinion.
I believe when I say I want it that way. Tell me why ain't nothing but a
you rate this advert, Farah. You pick this this advert.
No. I wait for the tagline at the end, and it will. It scared me.
Oh,
what?
What's happened?
I want it that way.
You are the gift.
Oh,
you are the gift.
Oh my
the gift.
God!
Oh God! Did she have blue hair at the start? Then
yeah, she had purple hair at the start. So basically,
oh my God! Hold on. So the idea is, it turns this quite normal, healthy looking girl at the start here, who admittedly has got a bit of eye tie in her. But then by the end, she turns into this creature here with blue hair.
No, she's got blue hair at the start.
She had it at the start, yeah.
It's just, well, it's doesn't. Just, it's just, She does. The lighting. The lighting. It's the lighting, dude.
Yeah, look, your colour.
And they show her. They show her a picture of her with the funny hair.
Look, she doesn't have blue hair there.
It does. It's the lighting.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway,
the point is, it's an inversion because normally the person loves the product, right? So you'll go to the screen. So you'll go look through the window and say, "I love that product." But in this, the product loves you and chooses you. You're being chosen by the machine. You are the gift.
Yeah, you're just an inanimate object for the delectation of this device.
You are the gift.
But you know,
did she have that nose piercing at the start? I'm not convinced. Look, she's a lot more wholesome there than she is at the end.
It's all the lighting. Yeah.
So this stuff like this though just reminds me of, you know, when you see kind of like elite Lundberg's
with
each other.
Even Lundberg's with me.
Okay,
and he's never with me. So
sure,
yeah, carry on, Farrah.
You know, you see the kind of elite signaling to each other with these kind of like stuff out in the open, and it's stuff like this which makes me think, you know, who chose that as a tagline, and why would you choose that? Because it doesn't make any sense other than the context of the enslavement of humanity to technological products.
You well, they're all transhumanists, so of course it makes sense.
You should send that to Morgoth. He's into this theme at the moment, isn't he?
Yes.
Send that to him. I might send it. I'll take a screenshot. I'll send it to him after when we finish in a minute. All right, so let's carry on.
Also, the Fortnum word gift. The word gift in German means poison. By the way, very strange.
Should we make this the last one? Let's make it the last one. Okay. Fortnum and Mason. I've got high hopes for this.
Oh no! Oh.
You know, can we have this one? There's one after this one. We have to see. But roll Fortnum.
I have very fond memories of Fortnum and Mason. Please don't let it be bad.
Established in 1707.
Yes.
Can I just say, other than the German ad, this is a record on today's show. 13 seconds and no diversity so far. Just saying. There we go. 30 seconds. We got there.
I just realized. Saying. Dude, that's Bertie Bassett's wife.
It is Bertie Bassett's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Pause a second. I'm surprised they got away with that because isn't obviously like Bassett's, isn't that full of licorice, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's quite
licorice all sorts, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like for the black woman is licorice all sorts.
Licorice all sorts, yeah.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Leaping around Fortnum's like a bunch of pillocks, yeah.
I mean, that wasn't too bad. I mean,
that was one of my other wholesome ones.
Mrs. Bertie Bassett in there, of course.
Yeah, well, I think the idea is like it's based on the Nutcracker, and then there's a couple of scenes where they have like the Sweetland, isn't it, or whatever. So, and I think she's a dancer. So,
right,
dancer. I don't know. I thought it was fine.
Excellent picnic hampers, excellent Christmas hampers from Portland as well.
Can we do one last one before the end? I've just put it in the private chat. It's in an Etsy special, and then can wrap up.
Okay.
This was a recommendation by Mongrorian Doggerland again, and I thought after his excellent work with the statistical analysis that he deserved a bit of a.
So which one do I have to put up?
No, I've put it in the private chat.
All right. This is Etsy, where I think I bought that coffee table on Etsy. You know, my my G-Plan one. Obviously, yeah, second hand.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Okay.
The large, yeah.
Right, here we go. Final advert. Already we're looking at, I'm guessing this is our family here. Kind of a Crosby family.
Jeez.
Oh, that was my original front cover. Was that exact shot? Was my front cover there? It was because I think I did a thing and people were saying this is their favorite advert of the year, you know. So
give more than a gift. Etsy.
Okay, so for those who didn't see it, it happens very quick. It's a very short ad. You've got this black family waiting in line to go to see Santa Claus. Now, you've obviously got three generations there. Can we zoom back a little bit? Because there's an important scene slightly earlier. When they're waiting in the queue, you can see the grandfather disgusted and annoyed at seeing pictures of Santa Claus who are white.
So, oh, yeah, yes, he hates the white Santa.
Look at this, that face there. Pause on that suspicious face. Look, he hates it. He's spotted a white Santa and is disgusted by it.
Ah, Santa. Give more than a gift. Ah, Santa.
Yeah.
Black man, old black man, doesn't like the fact that Santa's white.
Yeah, I mean, literally an old racist doesn't like white Santa. I mean, imagine inverting the racism in this and see how that would go over.
And again, look at his face there. There they are. Just the disgust. As this racist
he's
man,
not happy.
Literally, he's like, look at my Santa's son here with white Santa. He disgusts me.
And the payoff
is, thank goodness, finally.
I'm happy now.
More than a gift.
Yeah.
Etsy.
I've got a Jesus chocolate Christ. Santa for Christmas. That is horrible.
I mean, this is actually racist, though. This is like...
Yeah, I mean, literally a racist guy.
But I just like it. Just imagine it. I sort of want to run an alternative version where you just got like a white family, and then someone sees like a black Santa, and then the granddad just
an old white man just giving the stink eye to the black Santas.
Oh, well, thank goodness for the Windrush generation, eh? That was him,
Lord.
Grandpa. That was Grandpa. There's his gratitude. Oh well. Ready for some super chats?
Oh,
that really is bad. That's a very bad one.
You've ruined Christmas. SN... I hope you're happy.
SNGB says, thanks for the hundreds of hours of top-notch, informative and thought-provoking content over the past year. I've been following the channel since Dictator Trop Trumps, and it keeps getting better. The guests are always excellent, and the dramatic narrative arcs have been very entertaining. Have a great stream with Woes tonight. Oh, yes, I am back tonight, 10 p.m., with Millennial Woes. I am headlining Millennial this evening. Yes, we'll see what we end up talking about. I already shared what on my last video what I was going to discuss with him. But the thing is that because I'm of a similar age to Woes and of a kind of whimsical personality, I have set down what I want to talk about, but we could end up very easily talking about, like, you know, He-Man or something. Do you know what I mean? Just given what I know of Woes and given what he's like as a interviewer, we could end up in very weird places, you know, or giving esoteric readings of ET. Who knows where we end up? But it did mean that I had to distill all of my year's thought into couple of lines. So yes, the eunuch says, nothing witty to say today, just glad to support the AA cartel with what few dollars I can spare each week. Probably won't be able to make the other streams this week due to family events here. In the holler. Merry Christmas, one and all. Little white heart and a little Christmas tree. Well, thank you very much. Yiz the Eunuch.
I hope you're having a white Christmas, Yiz.
Yes, the whitest Christmas, Yiz. Now let's have a look at other super chats. That was the entropy. And we have Tyler Santinelli. Merry Christmas, all. Thanks for the show. It means so much. Well, thank you very much, Tyler. It means so much. Susan Wojcicki, the CEO of YouTube, says, Happy Christmas, guys. We see you woke advertising. I mean, how can you ignore it? How can you not see it? Is the question. I mean, do you think there's anybody in the entire country who hasn't noticed the incredible number of black people inserted into British adverts? You know,
it's interesting. I think in some ways it is creating more polarization in society because people are like asking what on earth is going on. So I think there's a like maybe 20% of people notice and carry on. There's about 40% of people that notice and clap. They'll stand up and applaud in their homes every single time they see it. And then I think they're, the other 40% are people who just lap it up. They don't even notice it's going on. They just receive their new orders.
How can you not notice that?
But the, it's not they don't notice. It's just they choose not to do anything about it. They just sort of accept that this is the new reality. This is what their life looks like now.
Yeah. Just like the masks and the passports and everything else. It's just this is just life now. The funny thing is that last advert, the Etsy one, I mean, it literally was a dramatization of how I think many people feel about these things. I mean, you know, you're secretly disgruntled that, you know, that everywhere you go, you see these representations that aren't, that don't mirror your life. And then in the end, you're given like something that does represent your life or your family or your people. And then you're happy. And so other people are allowed to have these feelings of alienation and then that redemption at the end, except for the literal majority. You know, we're not meant to have, we can't have the, we can't give Santa the stink eye, you know. Very, very strange to openly admit it like
I'll just keep on saying it, 3%. I'll say it over and over again, 3%. I mean, when you moved from, I don't know, Nigeria to come and live in Britain, what did you expect? Like, what are your basic expectations? Like, I mean, if we went to move to fucking China or something, can you imagine? Like, oh, I'm disgruntled that all the bits of Chinese culture have Chinese faces on them. Why do they look like me? I mean, can you imagine that? I just don't understand the thinking.
You know, I've got to be careful what I say here, but I think there's a lot more nuance in that, you know, the group that we call black. And again, my personal experience from, you know, I've been to a inner city London church for a long period of time. And I would say that the kind of middle class Africans are very, they act very different to the Windrush West Indians. Mm. Let's just say both in terms of their baseness and how they deal with things. And I think
people are saying 3% seems low. I will keep on reiterating the majority. Yes, there are ethnic minorities in this country, but they're not black. No. They're from Asia and the Middle East chiefly. The immigration came from those places and then also from Poland and places like that. The actual black population has not increased that drastically. As far as I know, their birth rate is the same as everyone else because they've been here since the majority of the black immigration was from the West Indies in the 50s and 60s, unless I'm mistaken. You know, most of the North African immigration ends up in France, as we've talked about already. So I just don't. I mean, okay, in the next census, maybe it'll have shifted a percentage point or something, but I don't really see it. You know, I go to London all the time. Or I used to. I used to back in the day before, you know, the world ended. And, you know, you don't, like I keep on saying, you would see whole areas where there's like, you know, Islamic prayer coming from the window and people walking around in those, like, I don't know what you call them, like the, what do you call like the long things that those are, that the Arabs wear, you know, the you know, like the long dress.
Yeah, thing. I can't, there is a name
kaftan,
for it.
Kaftan, is it? Kaftan?
They can be. There is another name. I can't remember what it is.
I mean, there are some Somalians, but I think the total Somalian population was 109,000. You know, so I mean, that would have moved the black population what, like 0.2% or something.
But also, these aren't Somalians in these adverts. I mean, you know,
and they're not Somalians either. You know,
they're. I mean, yeah, very odd. And of course, you have to realize it isn't as if like a whole bunch of black British people came and took over all these corporations and advertising agencies. I mean, the people making these and the people making all these decisions, pushing them, I would say, are probably almost all white. So
yeah, I mean, I do know Ofcom plays a role in that. I mean, there could be some regulatory thing here.
Oh yeah,
where they're scared of representation, so it's like, oh, we'll make sure the positive role figure is always this. But they could have made that. They could have made that figure any race that wasn't white.
Yeah.
But they specifically choose always a black guy for that role. So anyway, Dollface says, Lidl has names and descriptions and backstories for all the characters in this advert on their website. Oh my God, there's actually lore.
You got to boost this up. You got to boot this up.
All right.
We can finally find out where Sourpuss is from.
All right, hold on a minute.
Oh yeah, Coca-Cola says, miserable people.
Coca-Cola says, you are the gift. In other words, you are not completely you without our globalist product. To consume is your identity. Hence the girl's racial ambiguity as well. Rootless, no ethnic identity. Yes. Let me just pull this up. Little advert. Little advert. So there's going to be backstories on their website.
Is Lidl the one you went to where there's the pig's trough in the center?
Yeah, Lidl is the one with of pig's trough fame. Yeah. Where am I going to find this? I'm on the Lidl website now. Oh, I wouldn't recommend it, to be honest. Where am I going to find this then? I'm on the, they're just trying to sell me carrots and parsnips and things.
Please send it in Twitter. We'll check. I'll check Twitter if you can at me, whoever found it.
Media center. Corporate press release. Lidl GB to become the UK's highest paying supermarket.
What if you just Google like Lidl Christmas characters or something like that?
Yeah, no, I did, and it didn't really.
Oh.
Didn't really. Okay, you're gonna have to find us on Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Dollface. Zach says, "How about a stream about the war in Ukraine? Such a postmodern war." Where the far left and right volunteers fight side by side. Interesting. I don't know much about what's happening there. Are you talking about the current situation in Ukraine or the one that happened a while back? Because there's been a few things going on there. Machiavelli Sucks to Go says, when I'm in a sports tavern, everyone just ignores the commercials. I watch people's reactions. Yep. Drongo has sent 333 snacks. Thanks for that. It's probably about 10p. He says, advert, subvert, convert. Topsy-turvy, revolutionary spirit turning all things around on its head. Banned subversive class of graphic card merchants. Merry Christmas to Double A Battery Microman, Monsieur D and Pharaoh. So there we go.
Merci.
Thank you very much for that, Drongo. Mono Thalmos says, in AA's Bohemian Lodge, crimes against clothing and style are committed. Yes, although I have got my cigars with me now, so maybe I can, maybe once I settle in with cigars, the dress will follow. But I don't know. I've always liked to be comfortable in the house, so I always wear.
You need to get a smoking jacket. You need to get a traditional smoking jacket.
I like to wear pajamas or joggers or slumber wear indoors, and then I'll get changed to go out. And then as soon as I get in, I'll get changed again. You know,
a nice pair of pajamas is okay, but these joggers, you got to stop this jogger nonsense, quite frankly.
I've got a bathrobe, by the way. I find they're a bit hot, personally. I get hot in a bathrobe.
It's a bathrobe, not a robe, but they're all. Is it a fluffy one?
Yes, yeah, so, Drongo says, why can't people just let me be comfortable in my own home? All of you ninnies trying to tell me what to do all the time.
Bugger off, everyone. It's Christmas.
I found it. Oh. It's in the private chat. Little Christmas characters confirmed.
Little
lore.
This is going to explain it. We don't call this show the deepest lore for nothing. This is going to explain it. Say hello to Dad, Phil. Phil takes Christmas traditions very seriously. He always wears a little Christmas jumper and always carves the turkey with the latest gadgets. He always buys too many sprouts and always eats them all anyway. Oops. After years of practice, he reckons that this turkey recipe is an absolute winner. Just ask Uncle Gary. It's beautiful. His festive favorite this year is the Braymore basted large turkey with giblets. So there's terrible. Phil, our
little
father.
Little turkey. Imagine the little turkey.
Meet Mum Grace. Holy shit. So... The sour-faced woman was married to Phil all along. Grace is a high-flying pilot. Hold on. It gets worse. Grace is a high-flying pilot. Her route once took her around the world and back again every week. But lately, she's been flying to other dimensions. Come Christmas, she takes a whole week off to spend time with the love of her life, Oggy the dog. Oh, and her husband, Phil. And her daughter, Maxine. Grace's top pick this Christmas is the delightfully decadent Deluxe Black Forest Roulade. So she, not only is Phil, the avatar of Christmas tradition, but he's also a kind of like house husband to Grace, who is a pilot and has got like a kind of stereotypical masculine job.
Yeah.
So,
he doesn't have a career. He doesn't do anything except like make turkey.
Well, this is
yeah,
it.
And he's cucked by
yeah, and she likes a dog. Like she likes a dog. White women and dogs.
Also, this is kind of like the only thing that he has, isn't it? This poor man. He literally comes home to that sour face every day. Literally, he comes home. His wife has just arrived back after 3 weeks flying. She's already halfway through a roulade. He just sits down and just. Stares into the abyss and thinks it's only 15 days till Christmas. The one time I can enjoy myself, I can become a head of the household.
Oh my god! Oh. Like she's a pilot and he's like a cucked little jumper man. It's very sad what they've done to Phil.
Poor Phil.
I mean, am I starting to think that like, the white man is lucky not to make it into the anymore? It's just like he's been.
I'm telling you, the black men are getting the white man treatment though.
The ritual humiliation now. Say hi to Maxine. Being the one and only child, Maxine is the star on the family tree. When she's not performing her own version of the Queen's speech, she's obsessing over pigs in blankets, as well as our deluxe hand-cooked potato crisps. Check out the recipe for her latest pigs in blanket creation here. So there we go. This is Auntie Mo. So I thought Auntie Mo was actually married to Phil because it wasn't made obvious in the advert. But now, she's a vegan. As a vegan, Auntie Mo always helps out.
As a vegan. Yeah.
With some plant-based Christmas cooking every year. When it comes to present giving, her gifts are always a surprise, and she gets them from the middle of Lidl on Christmas Eve. The middle trough.
The trough.
Yeah. Her top pick for the festive season this year? Well, it's the deluxe vegan sausage and cranberry wreath.
Oh, I bet that's... Can we click on that? I want to see what that disgusting... Oh,
that sounds horrible. Sausage and cranberry
wreath. It's an average of 404 error.
They've probably withdrawn it. They've probably withdrawn it. It doesn't exist anymore because it was such an unpopular present.
It was so monstrous.
Did you see the shot I took of all the plant-based products in Sainsbury's?
Oh, that was great.
Exactly. Yeah, marked down like twice. Yeah.
Exposing them.
If you follow me on Twitter and you're out and about, please reply to that with if you see like reduced plant-based product, I want to build up a collection of reduced plant-based because they don't sell, but I bet you they won't get removed because they're being pushed from on high. Yeah. The top wants plant-based products.
Can just say that Auntie Mo is clearly the wine aunt archetype that we talked about last time. Look at that smug
face.
Oh,
yes, the wine aunt. Yeah. Now, last week, the wine aunt was very heavily featured. This week, it's been like, you know, black stepdad. It's been Phil.
I genuinely feel bad for Phil now.
Stepdad, yeah.
Him. I mean, do you think it's unfair to call him like domesticated black man? That's basically who we're dealing with here.
Look, can you just look how he's looking at that turkey? You know, he's probably just thinking back to when his wife was thin and beautiful before the roulades, before just her roulade habit just distorted her body. She used to be beautiful, and now all he has is that turkey.
Introducing Uncle Gary. Uncle Gary flies in each year showing off his tan and hairstyle from Spain, the moon, or the second coolest trending location of the year. His jokes never get any better. In fact, they're on repeat. Uncle Gary may be here, there, and everywhere, but always make sure he's with the family for Christmas, enjoying one or two deluxe all-butter mince pies. And then there's grot bags.
That was actually, again, like Gary's okay. You know, he's making an effort to see his family.
He's a joker. Yeah, he's the joker
he's
uncle.
He's just a funny guy. I like Gary.
And that's who you can be. You too can be Gary if you want. Season's greetings to Nan. Nan is the head of the family and a real hoot too. Since handing the carving knife over to Phil, her son-in-law, Christmas Day is her knees up of the year. She always brings so much fun to the dinner table, even though she ends up snoozing through the charades. But nothing will stop her waking up for one more helping of dessert, especially our deluxe luxury 9-month matured Christmas pudding. That's tradition.
That's tradition.
How much do you think the
consuming
the guy who wrote this copy got paid?
Like, too much. They should have fired this. They should have fired this guy.
Or do you think they gave it to the intern to do this sort of work?
The agency would have done this for sure. They would a professional copywriter would have had to write this absolute nonsense. Just imagine,
I'm just thinking of the person. Yeah, that sat. Like, that's your job.
It was
to write this drop.
I can tell you who it is. It's a 20-something young man. He dreamed of being a literary star, but ended up being a copywriter in ad agency for Lidl, trying to come up with an idea for like Nan's backstory. Desperately, like he comes home and just sits back and
drinks himself into oblivion.
Exactly.
How do you think they cast Nan? Do you think they put like grot bags looking woman wanted?
Probably. Also, I just love the distillation of tradition is a deluxe luxury 9-month Christmas pudding. Yeah, that's what tradition is. It is the purchasing of slightly aged Christmas pudding
from Lidl.
I've noticed something about Lidl, by the way. Even though there's Paws, they're reticent about it, aren't they? This is reticent Paws as opposed to all out Paws. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why that reticence? Do you think? Do you think they're aware that their target audience is not really that keen on this sort of thing?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think if it was too obvious, I think but also the more value orientated brands tend to like focus more on actually selling things. It's always the brands with large margins that can afford to take the hit.
Right.
I tend to find are like care more about the virtue. You know, like when was the last time you saw a Poundland being woke or whatever? They just can't afford, to do it, because if they don't sell product, they collapse. Yeah. So
meet Oggy, the best doggy. Oggy is a rescue dog with one mission in life: scraps. Maxine is his main target, being the youngest and most likely to drop things. Plus, He's using the latest in laser tech to try and snaffle a treat or two on Christmas Day. Oggy the dog is going vegan this year. So if you're looking for some plant-based inspiration too, take a look at our collection of meat-free recipes.
By the way, you will literally kill your dog if you try to make it vegan.
Yeah, do not try to feed your dog vegan food.
Yeah, or cats especially. You cannot have a vegan cat. You'll kill it.
Ugh. So anyway, there's still a few more Christmas chats here before I go. I might have a little lie down before Woes. What do you reckon? Have like a little nap.
I'm not meant to. You wake up 14 hours later.
Sleepio has told me I'm not meant to have naps. So.
Oh.
I meant to just sleep once, no naps. You know, GP told me that as well. Let's have a look.
You are the gift here. Your phone is telling you when not to sleep.
Thomas Gans says, the male, 10, 4 parts handy, 3 parts handsome, 2 parts wholesome, 1 part handsy. So there we go. 4 parts handy, 3 parts handsome, 2 parts wholesome, 1 part handsy. Well, according to that, I'm like a 0. I'm not handy, I'm not handsome, I'm not wholesome, and I'm not handsy.
Well, I thought that was about me.
Dollface says, that AA anecdote is giving off Sweeney Todd vibes. I have sailed the world, beheld its wonders.
Held its wonders from the Dardanelles to the mountains of Peru. But there's
Can I just say, you know the Johnny Depp Sweeney Todd, right?
Disgusting.
Now, half of that film, if you watch it, I mean, there's two noteworthy things about that film, okay? The first is that Alan Rickman is in that film. And by that stage in his career, Alan Rickman had transcended speech. Like, he just didn't even bother talking anymore. You know? Like, his performance in that film is insane because he just doesn't talk. It's just like, Alan Rickman.
He played Judge Turpin, I think, yeah.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is that Johnny Depp, like, I would say 90% of his screen time is taken up looking pensive off camera or looking kind of slightly just looking off camera, you know, in a way that makes you wonder, like, what's he thinking? And I would like to think that if I was in a film, that would be me. I'd always be looking off camera in a slightly ambiguous manner. You know, preferably with a half glass of whiskey, as per Paul Newman in Cat Martin Roof, who also spends a lot of time looking pensive off camera. That's what I want to do. I aspire to the pensive off camera look.
So you're not aspiring to, like, you know, slitting people's throats and
making
them into pies or anything. Okay.
No. And Sod, what's her name? Mrs.
Lovett. Yeah. Don't watch that film. If you haven't seen a decent version of Sweeney Todd, don't start with that film, which is absolutely rubbish.
Who's the director again? It's Tim Burton, basically. That's all he does now. That's all he does. Like, yeah. stick his ex-wife in there. What's her name?
Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, stick Bonham Carter in there. You know, Johnny Depp, job's a good one. Slightly stylized art style.
Yeah, we watched Beetlejuice last week, and there's a point in Tim Burton's career where he kind of forgot how to make films. Like, I think it was sort of after, like, Ed Wood, which was a very long time ago. It was like 1994, but he just sort of forgot how to make films, and they're all rubbish, you know. I mean, did you see that abominable Charlie in the Chocolate Factory?
Oh, it was awful, awful. Oh, I know long-time listeners will have heard this before, but you know, the shoehorned amateur psychoanalysis as well into every movie, you know, evil dentist Christopher Lee father in Wonka, for example. That's why he's a chocolate factory owner. That's why he's weird, because his father was a dentist who hated sweets, or you know, yeah. Penguin. Penguin's not just a kind of villain. He's a
no.
He was made that way because he was born with flippers instead of hands, and his and his parents threw him down the sewer. You know, fucking state on. I hate Tim Burton. Drongo brushes his teeth. I can tell he's non-English. Now, Drongo. Now. That's a stereotype. That's a racist stereotype, Drongo. Winter Phoenix Forest Corinne says, gingerbread reminded me of something. The Holiday Classics, Cannibal Gingerbread House, parts 1 and 2. On YouTube, the main character is a bit like AA. Part 1 is hilarious, but part 2 is impressive horror. The main character of Cannibal Gingerbread Man is like me, is he? What does he do? I mean, does he spend a lot of time pensively looking off camera?
Pensively looking off camera.
That's all I want to do, you know. Dollface says, in a parallel universe, Etsy ad, why does Father Coenza always have to be black? Where's our Father Coenza? So there we go. Plastic African says, God is a verb, not a noun. Say charcoal. What? God is a verb, not a noun. Say charcoal. No, it's not. God is a noun. Proper noun of that. It's not a verb. Like you're wrong, Plastic African.
That's surrealist poetry. What is he doing there?
God is a verb, not a noun. It's not a verb, though. Susan, would you... Yeah, go on.
I'm really sorry. I've got to head out now. Apologies. You're okay doing the last of those with D.
Yeah, there's only three left.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been called by the wife. Apologies.
You've been called. Oh,
yeah. Well, have a good Christmas, Pharaoh.
Yes, thank you. God bless all, and
happy Merry Christmas, Christmas Pharaoh.
All. Merry Christmas to everyone.
May your Santa Claus be black.
I still can't get over the fact that Pharaoh totally ruined Christmas for me.
Susan Wojcicki, the CEO of YouTube, says, AA, is your woes stream on YouTube or obscurity? It's on Odyssey. All of Millennial is on Odyssey. How do people know this? I don't understand. Like, have you been living under a rock or what?
I mean, he hasn't been on YouTube for years.
So, Millennial was on YouTube last year, but this year it's on Odyssey. Yeah, Odyssey. I think it was February. Stopped being on YouTube. So, Dollface says, Google Little Meet Our Christmas Characters. Yes, indeed. Well, we found it now. Drongo says, Red Jumpsuit Pervert is said to burglarize my house every year. Now, what skin color would be realistic for this character?
Oh.
100 snacks equals 0.5 Irish coffees. Well, thank you very much, Drongo. And Nicholas Fox says, the generation of the grandfather in Etsy ad is the least likely to have that attitude. It's the younger ones who are so ethnocentric. I know,
yeah,
Nicholas
that's
Fox.
A good point.
I mean, it's so every aspect of these things is an inversion of reality, even down to like the attitude of that man. You know, it's just so horrible what they do. Time Stealer says, don't forget based right wing granddad. Who is based right wing granddad? I didn't see any. I saw sleeping defeated old granddad. I didn't see base defeated.
No.
Based right wing granddad. Did you?
No.
King Cribble says the modern Quashy can only hope for consumerized white traditions, a remarried wealthy white woman, and an identityless demi black children. Well, according to these adverts, that's all you can hope for.
Yeah.
You know, just marry a sour-faced pilot.
Pilot, yeah.
And become like a house husband, a tamed man who does the turkey at Christmas in a little jumper. I mean, it's kind of logic first says, happy Christmas. Don't waste it on more villagers. So there we go. Well, thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow night with unpopular opinions. I don't know what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, we're
also going to be recording the Christmas party tomorrow, which is going to be mental.
What is this Christmas party? I don't understand.
It's just like a kind of free for all where all our friends drop in.
Oh, you know, all right.
And then we just leave it recording. I mean, I'm assuming you're going to be able to stick around.
If I can stay awake. After the show. I mean, you know,
if you can stay awake.
I haven't slept for about 72 hours.
Well, if you go to sleep now, you might wake up, like, you know.
Yeah, tomorrow.
When the show starts.
Well.
But yes, I'll also be back on Millennial, of course, and buy a course at the academic agency. Now is a good time, 5 days before Christmas. You know, get your loved one a course, buy a mug, join the channel. But most importantly of all, get out. Oh, shit.
I don't think you pushed the button.